Today I'm going to preach a sermon that for me is a little bit backwards. You see, for nearly 23 years now, I've been preaching sermons that try to get people to be more active. Active socially, active politically, active in their communities in various ways. I want people to practice a faith that is more than just attending worship and studying the Bible and praying. A faith that attempts to change the world for the better. And over the years, I've developed something of a formula for this. I always start with a spiritual or theological principle, and then I move to activism. So, for example, I might say something like, you know, prayer is good. It's a good thing to pray. God wants you to pray. God wants us to unburden our hopes and our fears and our dreams and our longings at the threshold of heaven. And after extolling the importance of prayer, I might say something like, but God doesn't want you only to pray. God also invites us to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. God invites us to be the answer to the prayer of an unaccompanied, undocumented child crossing the Sonora Desert, the prayer of a woman who has been denied a promotion because she is a woman, the prayer of the genderqueer youth tormented by bullies, the prayer of a young African-American man caught up in the prison industrial complex. Each sermon is different, and sometimes it hasn't been one sermon, but months of sermons building up to activism. But the movement has generally been the same, from spirituality toward activism. Well, today I'm gonna do it backwards. I'm gonna swim upstream and move from action to spirituality. Because I don't think you need me to preach a sermon to let you know that we are living in an historical moment that might be calling for some kind of action. And regardless of what that action might end up looking like, we will need spiritual sustenance for the faithful living of these days. Now, the nature of our activism may be somewhat dependent upon which historical similes we use to understand what's going on in the United States and in the world right now. Like many people, I certainly grew up believing if ever there arose another Hitler, that I'd be among those willing actively, and active, and perhaps at the cost of my own life, to stand up against the Holocaust. I also hoped that if there was another internment like the United States internment of Japanese Americans, that I'd be brave enough to be among those resisting that. I believed that I would want to be among the white Protestants marching with Dr. King, and I certainly grew up believing that I'd want to join with John Muir in calls for the preservation of the beauty of the American West. Of course, our historical moment has been compared to all of these times. There are those who say that the rise of a certain orange-skinned, small-handed demagogue is comparable to the rise of European fascist strongmen in the 1930s. The same long-winded and short-tempered candidate has called for an exclusion of Muslim immigrants from American shores and for a mass deportation of immigrants that calls to mind the ethnic cleansing of Japanese Americans from America's western states during the Second World War. On a different area of our life, we hear it said that today's Black Lives Matter protests are an extension of Dr. King's work half a century ago, and the ways in which large corporate moneyed interests control the agendas of both major parties may present a clear and present danger to the environmental health of the entire planet. But that's all debatable, of course. For every voice that says we live in dangerous times, there's another voice that warns us not to get too worked up, that says it's inappropriate, offensive even, to compare any American politician to the great fascists of the last century. Voices that tell us the Black Lives Matter movement is an unorganized flash in the pan and that our Constitution is robust enough to defend against deportations and exclusions. Voices that tell us that corporations are just like any other person, beholden to the economic forces that will never allow them to destroy the earth. To be honest, I don't really know who's right. I'm not an historian, and even if I was, I wouldn't have the benefit of history's perspective to evaluate what's going on today. But I do know this. While drawing inspiration from history's great movements towards peace and justice is important, we're not called to relive yesterday's struggles. We are called to be faithful in this moment today. Which means we're not voting today to prevent the reincarnation of a German madman. We are voting to prevent the rise of an evil particular to modern America. An evil whose ideas are not the same as those embraced by Franklin Roosevelt when he signed the order to round up Japanese Americans. The Black Lives Matter movement inhabits a different historical space than did the civil rights movement of the mid-20th century. The work of modern environmental activism is not the same work as the work of John Muir. In all these things, there are similarities, and there are important historical lessons to be learned. But if we wait for history to repeat itself before we practice an act of faith, then we never will engage the world in ways that are important and meaningful and faithful. If you wait for the modern world to become an exact replica of the past before you become active, then I suspect you will be a little bit like the farmer in this morning's lesson from Luke, who takes a bountiful harvest and decides to hoard it, saving it for some later day. For dearly beloved, we each have gifts in abundance, which can be used to build, or at least work toward, a world of peace and equality and justice and sustainability. Each of us has a role to play in building the kingdom of God, and it must happen now, in this moment. We cannot be faithful for yesterday is already past. Now is the time to take the vinyl covers off the couch in the living room and have a seat. Now is a time to eat off the forbidden china. Now is the time to open that bottle of wine you've been saving for 20 years, waiting for a particularly special moment. Now, this applies to the ways we live faithfully in the world, but it also should apply to us in the ordinary comings and goings of our living as well. Because no one is an activist all of the time, and even the most active among us must be renewed, must find refreshment, must practice a faith that nurtures the soul. And this happens when we don't put our spiritual needs on hold. This happens when we don't postpone joy. This happens when we don't defer our hope. Never should we wait to say a prayer. Never should we put off laughing. Never should we decide not to dance. My friends, don't save the good spices for a future dish. Break out the good crystal and the silverware and eat, so far as it is possible for you, sitting down and lingering at the table with loved ones. The dishes will wait for a more convenient season. And God invented TiVo for a reason, but our hearts must always and continually connect with the loved ones that we have with regular urgency. Don't put off your creative expressions. You were created in the image of a creating God. So paint, write poetry, make music. And when you cannot paint, when you cannot write, when you cannot sing, go to a museum or to the library or to a concert. Look at art. Read a poem or two. Listen to music, even if it means using an old cassette tape. Spend time in a garden, your garden or someone else's garden. Breathe fresh air. Pet a cat. Grab a pair of binoculars and see if you can catch sight of a rare and beautiful bird. Go out and hug a redwood tree, and if you're able, climb up a live oak. Learn to ride a bike. Go up in a hot air balloon. Try that new Ethiopian restaurant you've been meaning to check out, and if you don't know what to order, ask the waitstaff. She'll let you know. Travel if you can afford it, and if you cannot afford to go somewhere on an airplane, visit some part of the Bay Area you have yet to see, and I promise you that if you go with your eyes open, you will find something beautiful or interesting or both, even if you're just eating Korean barbecue in a strip mall along El Camino. Find joy in the world. God has given us a beautiful world. And the world God has given us is not something we're supposed to enjoy in the past, and it's not something for which we must wait. Now is the deep satisfaction, nor is the deep satisfaction of creating or enjoying art. It's not something we're to put off until later. Our love for those around us Today cannot be declared yesterday, and who knows, tomorrow may be too late. So fill your lives with expressions of affection and tenderness. And as I've already said, do not forget to dance. Do not put off for tomorrow what you can do today. This is true for the work we do to build a society of justice and peace and equality, but that work is hard. And in order to be faithful in our building of God's kingdom, we must be faithful in nurturing our inner joy, our peace, our hope. This is today's work. And this is good work. Amen.